I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. You know that I teach all over the country, about 265 classes in over 22 states every single year. I tried to do the numbers now, and it just doesn't work. I'm too busy. I can't keep up with where I've been and where I'm going. But I think, just by very conservative estimate, that from January of 2015 to October of 2015, I've spoken to over 40,000 people. That's so encouraging to me, to do those kind of numbers and realize what kind of an impact we are making in this country, in the realm of liberty, bringing liberty to people. The truth about liberty, arming them with what we need to have, the truth to secure liberty. Because if you cannot define liberty, you cannot defend it. And if you can't define tyranny, you can't defeat it. And what I do is I let the men who created America and the women who fought for it teach the lessons for me. It's not an opinion-based lessons. They are fact and history-based lessons. And that's so important today. In an educational system that is so completely influenced by psychology and philosophy, opinion, relativism, fact and history have practically lost their way in our school systems. I mean, the Common Core math isn't even based on facts anymore. It's based on estimations. What kind of world are we coming to when truth has no place and psychology and philosophy outweigh facts? Well, the interesting thing is that when I teach all kinds of people. So it's not always just, you know, sort of, you might want to say Chris Ann is preaching to the choir, but it's not. And I'm able to educate people who would not necessarily be educated in these truths. Many times they accept the truth and they're able to see and learn. I have had people come up to me, I've had people email me, Chris Ann, I attended your class. I am not your typical student, they would say. But I appreciated what you gave me. And it opened my eyes. And it made me think. And I'm going to be looking into this even more. See, that's the best thing I can ask for, really, because I'm not out to really change anybody's mind. That's not my position. That's not even my power. To change people's mind. I don't have a superpower to change people's minds. My only desire is to bring truth and make people think. Make them think about what they've learned, question what they've thought to be true, and to take into consideration the facts that I'm presenting. Now, there are some people who are unable to accept this truth. This cognitive dissonance sinks in and they just simply are unable. For example, I was teaching in Susanville, California. I was brought in by a group there to teach a doubleheader, which is a long time of teaching. That's a little over 3 hours. And so the doubleheader was the history of the Constitution, the genealogy that I teach, the 700 years of history and the five documents that created the Constitution. And the second half of the class was the state sovereignty class, the framer's solution to putting the federal government back into the box. It's limited and defined box, that is. And so I was speaking about the power of the courts, in which I said what I often say, and I've said it on Facebook and Twitter, I've said it here. Courts don't issue rulings. Kings issue rulings. Courts only issue opinions. And if a court's opinions contradict the Constitution, the liberty of the people, those opinions are no more binding than your next-door neighbor's opinions. And at that point, in Susanville, California, the local judge got up and walked out. I think that's fascinating, don't you? The local judge was mad because I was teaching the people that he makes opinions and not rulings, and that when his opinions violate the Constitution and the liberties of the people, his opinions are not binding. The interesting thing is there were probably over 200 people in that room who now know that judge got mad and walked out. Now please tell me, did I say something wrong? As I mean, incorrect. Because I don't really care whether I offended him or not. I'm rather glad that I did. Because not only did he need to be offended, if that is his perspective, but everybody in that room needed to know he was offended. He was offended at the fact that I was dethroning him. Offended by the fact that the people now know he cannot issue rulings upon them that bind them, even contrary to their liberty and their constitution. You see, Thomas Paine wrote in The American Crisis that crises are actually a benefit sometimes. They have good things. They expose hypocrites. He says they will expose a hypocrite in the same way the conscience exposes an unknown killer. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this judge was offended by the fact that I said he does not issue rulings and that his opinions are not binding when they don't follow the law. We have exposed him now, and it's up to the people to do something about that. You know, it's very disturbing to me, and I will use that word, it's disturbing. It's very disturbing to me that this judge would be so offended that he would get up and walk out on that statement after everything that he'd heard. This was not the beginning of my teaching. I believe I was nearly at the end. After everything that he had learned, that one statement make him get up and leave. That is a huge ethical problem. Do you see the ethics violation in this? That this judge believes that his opinions are unquestionable, and that people have to have an obligation to follow his rulings. This man has an ethics issue, and the people of Susanville should not allow him to stay as judge. And I'm glad he was exposed. And frankly, if he ever gets a chance to listen to this, which I doubt, because I really seriously doubt that my statement of fact about Judge's opinions was the thing that drove him out. I suspect that the series of truths that he heard were just simply so unsettling to the foundation of his lies that he just couldn't take anymore. So I doubt he'll listen to this show, but if he gets an opportunity to listen to this show, I'll invite him to contact me. And I'd be happy to talk to him about this. I'd be even happy to record a statement and give him the opportunity to explain himself and show me where I'm wrong. Because if I'm wrong, I'd love to be wrong. I would hate to think that a judge who is supposed to occupy the confidence of the people, where justice is blind, and people of the highest moral character sit in judgment over the laws of the people. I would like to think that he is of that class of people, and I will give him the opportunity to do that. So if you are in Susanville, California, and you are listening to this show, please encourage your judge to contact me if he has the moral fortitude and the courage to do it. I suspect maybe not. But we'll see. I'll give him a fair chance. I believe everybody has a fair chance to be heard. I appreciated his willingness to come and listen in the first place. So you see, the point I'm trying to make here is speaking truth is so important, because not only do you have the opportunity to bring this truth to people who may not have ever heard it before, but it is a valuable tool to expose those who cling to lies like a life raft. And his unwillingness to accept the truth only exposes him as someone who loves lies. And people like that should not be in positions like that.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, let's talk about some more controversial, some more challenging things today, because we are reaching a point in America where these things are going to be, they're going to be a big problem. And if we don't know our rights, there is no way to defend them, and there is no way to secure them for future generations. You see, we don't have constitutional rights. Nobody in America has constitutional rights, because guess what? Your rights don't come from the Constitution. Your rights are inherent. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. The only purpose of government is to secure our rights. And our rights do not come from government, and they do not come from documents. Our rights come by the nature of our creation. It's called natural law. And the moment you have life, you have rights. As a matter of fact, our framers would believe that even before you actually possess life, you have rights. Because the future has liberty. That's what our framers said. We are building We are hoping to secure liberty, they said, for ages and millions yet unborn. The Constitution says we are to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Our future generations deserve to have their liberty preserved. In the end of the Declaration of Independence, our framers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they said time and time and time and time again, we are not doing this for ourselves. We are doing this for ages and millions yet unborn. Our framers believed the unborn possessed liberty. And they believed that the liberty of the unborn was worth their sacrifice of life, fortune, and sacred honor. They thought the unborn was worth dying for. How do we treat the unborn today? It's just a little thing to think about. When we believe that the unborn does not even have a right to life, when the government can establish the standards of life in which we can live, then liberty has no place in that society. Because you see, life is the first step to liberty. Because if you don't have a right to life, and the government can determine at which point you live, and at which point your life deserves protecting, then you can't have liberty ever. Because then the government can determine everything. The interesting thing is the government hasn't determined the position and the point in which life begins and your rights begin. No, they haven't. No, that was the courts. Again, courts issue opinions, not rulings, and they don't make law. A court making law is a violation of separation of powers. And yet, how many people think that a Supreme Court decision called Roe v. Wade is the law of the land? Do you know how many times I've heard people say that? Well, Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. No, it's not. Roe v. Wade is a Supreme Court opinion. Supreme Courts can't make law. And they certainly can't amend the Constitution to create a law of the land. Here you go. You want to apply the 14th Amendment to something? Why don't you apply the 14th Amendment equally to the unborn, so that nobody can deprive them of equal protection of the law? You see, our framers believe that the unborn, the Constitution declares our posterity deserves liberty. And when government can choose when life begins and life ends, you don't have anything at all. You don't have a right to life. You don't have a right to liberty. You don't have a right to property. You don't have a right to self-preservation because you don't even exist. So we need to realize some things, some controversial things, that your rights don't come from documents and don't come from government. Your rights come by the nature of your creation.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So let's talk about our rights. And one of the most destructive things to our rights, our ignorance. We must be educated on our rights, and we must understand our rights if we are going to secure and defend our rights. Now I'm reading a story this morning from WorldNet Daily, where a high school student, a cross-country runner, was racing in the cross-county championships at Carleton High School He came in third place in this race until the judges decided to disqualify him because he was wearing a headband that said Isaiah 40, 30 through 31. That's all it said. Isaiah 40, 30 through 31. A Bible scripture. Or scriptures, rather. Two verses. Now, when you see the picture of the runner, you see that the headband's turned inside out. So you can't, I mean, I'm looking at it, you can't even really read it. It's backwards and upside down. And as the young man was running in a race, I highly doubt that anybody who was watching him could watch him long enough to read this Bible verse inside out and upside down. It was clearly something at this point for his own personal inspiration. Now, the cross-country coach will tell you that the judges actually saw the headband and told him that it was no problem, and that is why it is turned inside out. He was allowed to wear it inside out. But here's the problem. He should have been allowed to wear it outside as well. Because you see, the cross-country rules, number one, do not reference headbands, but reference beanies, toboggans, and ear covers. Of a single color are allowed, so long as they only include one logo. Now, I suppose you could call the headband an ear cover. So we know that ear covers are allowed, so long as they only include one logo. Which means they could have a logo, the Nike logo, that says, just do it, right? Nike, just do it. Or they could have, any other logo with their saying on it, right? Because that's what the logos do. They advertise a company. Well, Isaiah 40, 30 through 31 is a logo at this point. One group of words. Because when you're talking about the interpretation of the First Amendment, I'm not talking about the application of the First Amendment, because we realize that the application of the First Amendment doesn't allow the government to even interfere in this at all. Period. Okay? Period. No interference. But the interpretation of the First Amendment, as by the courts, what the school has done is illegal by the interpretations. Because you see, you cannot take one set of words and allow them over another. You cannot prefer the Nike logo over the Adidas logo and say that only Nikes are allowed when the government is involved. And this is a government school. So the government restrictions apply. And so if the government school allowed any other students to wear any other headgear that had any other logo, this school district will lose this case. They will. And not only that, there is evidence that other students were allowed to wear other headbands with other Bible verses on them. So, what's the problem here? Perhaps it's because he's the winner, the third place winner, and he's in the newspaper and people actually got to see it. You see, that is a violation of the government's own interpretation of the First Amendment, which is not even a proper application of the First Amendment to begin with, but nonetheless, the school district will lose this case. And I hope that the student will pursue this to the fullest extent of the law. Because here's the problem. The problem is government schools getting involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. You see, and we don't understand this application of separation of church and state. The interesting thing is, even the Federal Department of Education declares that what this school is doing to this student is illegal. Both the Supreme Court and the Department of Education, Federal Department of Education, which you know does not exist constitutionally, but nonetheless, we are dealing with interpretation, not application. And so, even the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, says that the students do not check their constitutional rights at the door. Do you know your students have the right to pray in the classrooms? They have the right to pray in the hallways. They have the right to pray in the lunchrooms. They have the right to pray anywhere. Your students do. Your students have the right to read Bible verses. Your students have the right to talk about God in the classroom if it's relative to the lesson. They can write papers about their faith if it's relative to the assignment. That's the interpretation of the government. And so you see, the problem here are school districts who are completely ignorant of the proper interpretation of the rights of these students. Because you see, the student is not a government agent. He is an individual with rights and liberty. And the government can't stop him from expressing those. And he's not breaking any uniform violation because he's clearly within the limits of the uniform code. But the problem is we don't have parents standing up for these students, educating their school districts. And so we have tyrannical people in the schools, tyrannical, intolerant people in the schools who want to prefer one set of language over another, who rule, reign, and dictate over the ignorant in the schools. You see, this article says the coach went to the race officials. They had two of them. Had given them an all clear. Had cleared his headband before the start of the race. The coach says a third man, not in uniform, made a comment about the band at the same time, but walked away before the coach could follow up with questions. Apparently this third man, a tyrant, an intolerant tyrant, had some influence over the ignorant officials and deprived this young man of his liberty and of his rights. So now it's time for some educated people to stand up and push back. I hope that they will contact Liberty Counsel or the Thomas More Law Foundation to get some of these things cleared up, because these people will help this young man, because he deserves the fruit of his labor. But we have a misunderstanding here about the difference between students and teachers. Teachers are government agents. Students are not. We also have a difficulty understanding the limitation of a government school system and how government schools are established and funded and the proper understanding of their role and the duties of their position. Government schools are paid with tax dollars. tax dollars are collected from every single member of the community by force and not by choice to fund the government schools within their district. So within any district, you're going to have varying and multiple belief systems. So you are collecting money from people of many differing faiths and many differing beliefs, and you are collecting that money by force, not by choice, to fund the schools. Which means that the schools must teach an education that reflects all of the faiths and the beliefs of every single person contributing to the funding of that education. So if your government schools are going to take up a faith education perspective, you must allow them to teach every single faith that represents every single person who is funding that school. Right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my gun.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So when government schools are paid by collecting by force the money of the people of the community, anything that the school teaches must be something that reflects every single person in that community. The only way you can change that is if you make paying for those schools a choice, so that people can refuse to support their local school if the school is teaching something they do not support. Otherwise, you're being tyrannical. You are forcing those people to pay for things they don't believe in. Government schools cannot prefer one religion over another. And when we ask government schools to do that, we are actually creating a situation where all religions must be represented. See, this is one of the biggest points of ignorance for Christians in a community, I think. This belief that government schools should teach the Bible, that should teach the God of Christianity, but not teach any other religion at all. We are not a theocracy. The government cannot choose one religion over another. So if you want, now this is different for the students, because the students are not government agents, they are individuals. So that student can wear a Bible verse on his headband. The student can wear a Quran verse on his headband. He can wear a verse of Confucius. He can wear a verse of his own personal motto, because he is not an agent of the government. But when the school takes up a curriculum that is based on faith, not based on history, you can teach the history of Christianity, but you cannot teach the faith of Christianity. Because if you teach the faith of Christianity in government schools, you must teach the faith of Islam, the faith of Buddhism, the faith of Satanism. And so now we have a school where a teacher has brought tarot cards into the school and actually talked about and showed her tarot cards to the classroom to remove evil spirits from the classroom. Well, of course, the Christians are going to be crazy about that. That's how we know about this. A Catholic student was offended by the tarot cards being brought out and read in the classroom. And the student said, I had to get up and leave. I called my parents. I told them what's happened. This is offensive to my faith. The problem is here, how would we be offended if the teacher said a prayer, a Christian prayer, in the classroom? Well, we had a Christian coach on a public school football field in front of public school students have a baptism. And the Christians went nuts. So why aren't the Christians supporting this school teacher in the public school classroom with her tarot cards? Because it's a government school, it must reflect everyone's faith. And hey, Christian, you can't get upset when it does. So the only solution here is this. Christian teachers can't engage in Christian rituals any more than Wiccan teachers can engage in Wiccan rituals on government school property. Don't open doors you don't want people to walk through. It's about liberty. God bless. See you tomorrow.